Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.
Good evening. It's May 12th, 2015, and this is Inside Out, the Naked Truth, coming to you live from Newbern Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California. Well, curiously enough, clothing is optional, but as it turns out, the truth is always naked. And I am Reginald Umbridge, sitting in for Errol Strider tonight, who was not feeling at his tip-top, and he was kind of low in the energy, so he asked me if I could substitute with him on this radio program. And I am delighted to be here with his lovely wife,
Rochelle Alicia Strider. It would be very difficult for me to pretend to speak American when I'm sitting with this Englishman, so if you hear a few Englishisms come into my pronunciation, it's because I'm very impressionable. But I want to welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation, a few laughs, several spiritual perspectives, and as many surprises as possible.
Our time tonight, as it turns out, is sponsored by, I love that phrase, it grew up out of America, sponsored, like you were not sponsored and now you're sponsored. That means you have a sponsor. Jolly good. Especially when your sponsor is Go Raw. Go Raw. Chop chop, bully bully. 100% raw food does not only taste so yummy, but it's good for you.
Go Raw can be found at Whole Foods and the organic section of Costco. Go to goraw.com to find out where you can get a Go Raw product in your neighborhood. Tell us what we're going to be talking about tonight, or delving into, or playing with, or looking at.
Imagine that. Rochelle Strider delving into something original and deep. Imagine that. What a lark. Well, that's what we're going to try to do tonight, is to imagine that, then you fill in the blank, as it were. Because the creative imagination is just really a jolly good thing, and it's been around a long time. As a matter of fact, the great person Albert Einstein said this: true sign of intelligence is not knowledge, but imagination. Doesn't that just make you a feather whipper? It does me.
It does me. I love imagining things. People have imaginary friends when you were little. I don't know if I had an imaginary friend, but everything I did was in imagination. I would create things, I would create scenes, I would create characters, and I'd play them out when I was a little girl. And it all came from my imagination, and it was always fun.
You listeners out there, you might look around you in the area in which you're listening to this program. There's your computer, and if you're listening, on the telephone, and a various array of furniture and other things around. If you like it here, where I am staying with the Striders, it's full of all kinds of little objects of one kind or another, from little bottles with spices in them to a bunch of dried fake flowers. I can't tell if they're fake or dried, etc., etc. Anyway, my point being is that everything you are perceiving, if it's man-made anyway, has come out of someone's imagination. That's extraordinary. It's like it didn't come out of someone's shoulder blade or their elbow. Or
what you're saying is definitely an imaginary imagination. I mean, you're using your imagination to say what you're saying, like it didn't come out of someone's shoulder blade. Now, that's imagination speaking, because you can't imagine it coming out of somebody's shoulder blade.
It's all about making it up,
that's right.
Really. And we have the prerogative of being able to make things up. And what we're learning at the very beginning of this is that we actually have the capacity to make up who we are. Oh, my, now that is a jolly interesting notion.
And what do you mean by that, Reginald?
What I mean is that we are in the process, by virtue of our choices and decisions, to add the actual substance to our own beingness. Just like the body accrues muscle, matter, bones, and all that, the soul has its own version of the substance of that. But it's not physical the way the physical tends to be physical. But it's constantly collecting like food for the soul. And food for the soul is connected every time a decision is made to be inclusive.
Imagine that. Well, it is pretty amazing.
Would you agree?
Whether I agree or not, it's your imagination at work. The wonderful thing about an imagination, it belongs to you. The things you imagine, I don't think they're disputable. Like the things you imagine are so much a part of who you are. It's like saying, you know, I just breathed, and someone saying to you, well, could you explain that? You breathed, and that's what you did. And imagining is like that. It's so personal and wonderful. But then more importantly, it can be shared.
My point was that as you create the being that you want to be, you can begin to imagine yourself being that being. And you will find yourself moving towards the demonstration, if not actualization, of the very being that you are hoping and aspiring to be.
Now, everyone has that potential, but can everyone fulfill it?
Well, everyone has the potential, but it's always a choice, my dear. Always a choice. Everything of any consequence whatsoever comes as a result of a decision. It is by decisions that life moves or swishes about, as the case may be. It's making those decisions. But when you add the imagination, what you're adding to the decision-making process is your vision and your excitement and your desire to feel and see what it is you imagine to actually become manifest. And then you simply walk up and meet it where it is, and the two of you are joined. Your vision, the product of your imagination, and you're continuing to make the choices that leads you to its fulfillment.
I can imagine it. And I also am aware that, like, some people come into this planet as innocent babes into circumstances that, could they imagine that at some point in another life? Could they imagine that thing that they're dropped into? I'm reading all these books about kings, and then there's the peasants. Today we can see the disparity in the classes as well. Some people have that instinctive imagination flourishing no matter what circumstances they find themselves in, and other people are in circumstances in which they seem to be robbed of imagination. So what do you make of that, Reginald?
One of the little tricks evolution plays upon us is that it doesn't make it easy to work.
Imagine that.
There's lots of rumbling and tossing about and bristling and being abrasive all throughout evolution, everywhere, every capacity. Very stressful kind of thing, but I must be like the rocks in one of those rock shining up machines where they put all these coarse, rough rocks together and they put them in the machine and they roll them around and each of them makes the other smoother. I think the universe is really smoothing us out, because the smoother we are, the easier it is for us to go in and out of different life circumstances and not leaving a terrible, messy wake behind.
I like that. I think imagination plays a part outside of themselves for most people, in the sense that they're imagining things that are external to the being.
We have to start somewhere, my
right.
dear.
When I drive, lots of times I have fantasies about things that I would like and even ways to maybe get them. And they're fantasies. I'm aware that they're not happening because what's happening is I'm driving the car. None of the things that I am imagining are actual in that moment, because what's actual is I'm driving the car having these fantasies. The fantasies are a product of my imagination. But it makes a very enjoyable ride.
Rochelle, it's me, Earl. I just had to come up.
I'm tired, but when I hear you say that you're driving and you're, what'd you say, imagining, I rather imagine or like to imagine you when you're driving, you're imagining that you're driving. Anyway, it was enough to get me up.
Make you nervous?
It made me a little nervous.
I'm fantasizing when I'm driving.
Kind of adds to my tiredness here, but I've got another friend who wants to come on, and I asked him if he'd take over, Father Mark O'Reilly.
Thank you, Errol. It is good to be here now with you. Be feeling better next week. This is Father Mark O'Reilly. Perhaps you've heard our show, As the Saying Goes. That's right, we're on a regular weekly show ourselves, As the Saying Goes. And you know how the saying goes, don't you, Rochelle?
I'm not sure.
Imagine that.
Imagine that.
That's how the saying goes. And sometimes the saying goes to the north, and sometimes the saying goes in every which way. You never know which way the saying is going.
Imagine that. I think I'm being rendered speechless by all the guests we have on
sure
our show.
Sure it is, so darling. Thank you so much, Lord, there, for jumping in with that. But, darling, as you know there, you're using your imagination. You imagine, for example, a beautiful being coming to you. Or perhaps you imagine in yourself being the beautiful being that you imagine coming to you. Or something else even more modest than that. And that's heaven. Something as simple but as miraculous as a beautiful day.
Wake up and smile, 'cause it's been a while. It's been like a whole day since I stopped, so you could hold me. This child awaits, strong in the faith. Lord, you are the refuge that I can't wait to get to, 'cause I can't let a day go. Can't let a day go by without thanking you for the joy that you bring to my life. And it's a beautiful day. Yeah, it's a beautiful day. When trouble seems to rain on my dreams, it's not a big deal. Let it wash all the bugs off my windshield, 'cause you're showing me that in you I'm free, and you're still the refuge that I've just to get to, so I won't let a day go, won't let a day go by. So put the drop top down, turn it up, I'm ready to fly. And ooh, there's something about the way your sun shines on my face. It's a love so true, I can never get enough of you. This feeling can't be wrong, I'm about to get my worship on, take me away. It's a beautiful sing about. There ain't no limitations to your amazing grace. Your amazing grace.
Now, sure, this was J.B. Grace. And as you know, I'm a father of the faith. And so what I'd like to explain to people now is that some people like the lyrics in that song, beautifully sung, delightfully expressed by J.B. Grace. And I love it that her name is J.B. Grace. What is grace? It's that phenomenon that's sent from beyond anything we could imagine. Imagine that. We can't always get there in the time we'd like, but sometimes it does. Grace is what paves the road in an otherwise bumpy little universe that helps you get from here to a better place.
You can't have innovation without imagination. You have to imagine it. The things that are difficult for us humans, we can imagine something, and it's so easy to imagine it. And then to make it happen, to bring it to life, requires a whole other set of skills. You can imagine it, but imagination, we could be lying down and doing seemingly nothing, and still we could have our imagination. But then you have to build the car, you have to build the TV, you have to build the spaceship. Even though you bring your imagination into the actual moment-by-moment building it, it's much more difficult. It's much more work involved. And I find that sometimes my imagination is an escape from the reality of that work, that I can imagine if I'm working and I'm tired and my body hurts, and I can imagine all sorts of wonderful things, like lying on a beach somewhere maybe, or doing something, or flying, or whatever. The thing is that the imagination is almost like a breath of fresh air. It washes away cares. It's just so marvelous. And I love my imagination. It has never failed me. I've never been without it.
Well, honey, all this is a text. Errol, I'm happy to sit in for you just for a little bit here, and I think it's a good thing that I did about this time, because what we're talking about is how we educate the younguns. You know, how much is it important that our little kids get the knowledge, and how much is it important that they get their imagination muscle working really good? I'll tell you now, we're leaving these little ones a future that could be rife with, what'd you say it was over there, Father? It was something like cultural abrasion. That's right. So the cultural abrasion that's going to happen as people bump against the resistant forces that are going to be jammed up against humanity more and more so, in case you haven't noticed. So I want to just address the issue of how we educate our youngins. We should be taking them on imagination trip, but do just what you said, darling. Bring it down to earth. Give them the experience of imagining something, and then the tools and the knowledge to actually make it manifest. That should be the tactics of education.
I was teaching fourth grade in New York school system, and we were doing a geography lesson. So I got a big globe and I put it on the desk, and then we all stood in the back of the classroom and we made a cylinder that would look like a telescope. We looked at the continent of Africa, let's say, and we were looking through this thing, and someone says, "I see it. I see Africa." He was an explorer finding Africa through this thing. The kids got into it, and it was such a fun class, because we were explorers and we were finding all these things and acting it out and doing that sense of playing with our imaginations. They loved those classes. I tried to do them as much as possible. I had teachers who made history and geography so dull, we read about it. There was nothing imaginative about it.
I guess the issue is, what do we need to do to keep that imagination muscle alive and thriving? It might be as simple as just using it more often. But they're going to have to use their imagination and the skills here, as I said, to tackle some of these abrasive elements that are coming upon us. I don't mean to be blowing smoke of doom down the road here, because I don't think it's about doom, but I do think it's about paying attention and staying alive and not get sucked into the inertia of apathy. And if you ask me, that's a good reason why there's bumpy parts in the universe. It's so easy for us, when we're comfortable, to get used to the inertia of apathy. But then the whole universe, old Mother Nature, it'll come up and bite your ass. You get too much down in that apathetic vein.
Imagination could also lead you to apathy. That's the downside of imagination. Because you stay in that space that is not dealing with the world as it is. You're imagining it as you want it to be. So there's this disconnect, and you don't want to go into how it is. You want to stay in how you want it to be. And that could lead to a state of apathy in terms of taking charge of your life and making something happen.
Hi, Rochelle, it's me. The conversation was just getting so rich, and thank you guys for helping me out, but I think I got my energy back, and I just wanted to be part of this program. Say hi, y'all. I'm glad I can just come up and join you, and I'm glad I got some good friends here who could go to bat for me, because this is Inside Out. It's the naked truth, and we are broadcasting live. We are very clothed, actually, tonight.
This is cold.
It's just been nippy. Someone said the other day, it's like the coldest spring we've had in California. It's been just
chilly.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've pointed out something really interesting to me, and that is there's two sides. You can imagine unrealities that have nothing to do with where you are. You can imagine things that could become reality that could be really painful. You can imagine things that you want. So there's all kinds of ways. It's like this beast almost. Reminds me of that Dune worm. Do you remember Frank Herbert's Dune?
Yes. I do remember.
And there was this huge worm. It was like the size of a dirigible, each one. It was just huge. Reason why this spice on this place was really special and people came from all over the universe to get it. But they themselves did not have water very much. But I'm getting sidetracked. The point is that the worm...
See, but the person who wrote that had a great imagination.
Right. Talk about imagination, size five. But anyway... If you could get on the worm and you could ride it, which the main character did at one point, ride it, then you have this power underneath you that's so amazing. Imagination can be like that.
Exactly. If you can ride it, if you can harness your imagination to make it work for you and move you forward and expand your consciousness and expand your relationship as an expansive element of your being. That way, imagination is generative.
Right.
And I love that. That part of imagination is more to my liking than anything else. So yeah. There.
Well, here's a good example of it.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say that I'm a dream.
You know I'm in love with Eva Cassidy. That's who that was.
Mm. And I am in love with John Lennon, so what a beautiful union that was.
Errol, can I say something? Who's that? That's me, Barney Wenskofsky. And I'd like to say something about that song. Do you mind if I step in here and have some conversation with your folks out there?
Well, no. No, it's fine. Go ahead. Always interested in what you have to say, Barney.
Sounds like a high, polite, and falutin notion here. That one, and it sounds boring, number one, to me. Do we really want to imagine that? Is that what to imagine? I don't know. It seemed kind of flowery. I know some people for imagining it right now, as we speak here, they're imagining blowing the crap out of some other people in one form or another. And they're going about in a very systematic way to achieve that very goal. So how do we get from that to all that abrasion? You use that word abrasion. I like that. Yeah, it's very abrasive out there. Don't we want to keep some abrasion in the game? It's like flirting. You don't want to get rid of the flirting and just have the union and the babies, right? You got to have the whole tension. Yeah, that's what it is. It's like this creative tension that's provided by this opposites in the universe. You know what I'm saying? And how they kind of hold back a little bit and kind of play with you to get you to kind of reach a little further on your way to this oneness. I tell you the truth. I got to figure we're already one. I mean, where are we? Two? No, that's just one thing. There's the whole thing happening in and amongst itself. That's it. It's the one thing. So other than that, this is a case where the imagination is already meeting reality. We just don't know it.
Imagine that.
Barney, thank you. That's my friend Barney Bernofsky. He always has something interesting to say. So what do you make of that, Rochelle? What do you think?
The thing about imagination is there's no boundaries to it. You can imagine an entire combat scenario. You can figure out all of the ways to have battles because that's what great warriors did. They used their imagination to figure out the best way to annihilate the enemy. So imagination has no morality.
Albert Einstein said something sort of related to that. Only two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity. And I'm not sure about the former.
Well, that's very good. The thing is that we're surrounded by imagination all the time. We don't realize it because we think of imagination in terms of art, you know, that you create something that's not viable. It's not viable in the sense that you can't utilize it, though we do create works of art.
It's not utilitarian. It doesn't mean
right.
Utilitarian needs.
Okay. The thing is this, we do create works of art that we can utilize. Like we create beautiful pieces of furniture and then we sit on chairs that are stunning. But it's the sense of art and imagination seem to go hand in hand. And yet imagination is everything. It takes us to every place, and it does everything. Some of them are reprehensible. Just think of the horrible things that have happened to humanity that people imagined. Imagine cutting off people's heads with a guillotine. That was a stroke of imagination. This is much more efficient to take a blade and just let it drop than hit somebody with an axe.
I just have to do a little plug here. I think they should go back to the guillotine. If you think about all the problems they have with electrocution and they have the gas and now even the lethal injection is marginal and is it cruel and unusual punishment, blah, blah, blah. But the guillotine, especially now, they could make such a good one. Zip, and it's like quick. There's no guessing and it's quick and it gets over with.
You're still saying that it's okay to kill somebody who's done something that you don't like.
That's another thing. Then that raises the question.
So if you're going to kill them, in other words, let's kill them with a guillotine.
Yeah.
You used your imagination then to say that. I'm using my imagination to say what I'm saying. I can't imagine it.
But you can come up with it. Now,
I might be able to come up with it, but what would lead to the coming up of it?
Okay, that's what I want to get into next. Like you come up with it.
because I was thinking about Einstein. He came up with the theory of relativity. Where did it come up from? Was it something he imagined? So I think there's this coming up with part that's kind of a relation to imagination, the coming up part. It's like there it was in there, this potential notion, idea, etc. And then all of a sudden, boom, it shows up. When it shows up like a definitive answer like that, no wonder you have such a sense of humor as Albert Einstein had.
I think discoveries are, let's say, an imaginative human being chooses to make a discovery, and yet the discovery is rooted in reality. So it's not like something you imagined, but you're looking at something, like you're pondering something, and all of a sudden you realize what it is. Is that your imagination that led you to that discovery? Because it's the discovery. It's not an imaginative thing. It's real thing.
That's the come up part that we were talking about. When you come up with things, that's what I'm saying. It's like a different thing. Imagination is you project, and then you come up with things. Things occur to you. A lot of times they may occur to you as a result of intense experimentation and focus and work and effort, and then that just occurs to you.
Different than imagination.
Just as a sideline, I thought this was interesting. Darwin, and I think his name was Wallace, both discovered evolution theory essentially at the same time. And they both acknowledged that they discovered it at the same time. But Wallace was very humble because he said something about, I had the insight in a minute, but why is Charles Darwin so much more recognized? Because he put in 20 years of intense corroboration and stuff. He didn't have a problem. It wasn't an ego thing. They were friends for life, actually.
Probably had somebody to talk to about something that a lot of people had difficulty even accepting.
Speaking of evolution, by the way, have you been noticing what evolution is doing lately?
Oh, I can't even imagine it.
First of all, I was reading Time magazine today, and they got this new prime minister. He sounds as a down-to-earth kind of thinker. But the thing that impressed me was when our current president, Obama, went over there.
To India.
Yes, to meet with him last year sometime. He says, don't let anything split your country apart. This is Obama. He started off by saying, don't let religious differences, and then he qualified himself. So don't let anything pull you apart. You need to be united. That brings us back to the good old USA, where we need to be united. I think about our forerunners, our foreparents / fathers who imagined this system that would work to maintain a relative balance in society between chaos and health and progress.
In my mind, what they did is they had a focal point that we could all agree to, which allowed us to be different.
Which was
the United States of America. That this country was a focal point in which we could be different and it would be okay. And that's amazing to me. In so many places, the difference, and of course it's not perfect, because we are not perfect, but the possibility exists here as a result of that, where you have something that's larger than you are. But you don't have to accommodate it to lose yourself.
You know what it sounds like you're talking about is essentially pure imagination.
Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in a world of my creation. What we'll see will define explanation. If you want to view softly look around and view it. Anything you want to do there, want to change the world, there's nothing to it. There is no life I know to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free. If you truly wish to be, living there, you'll be free. If you truly
That was Josh Groban.
I was looking at that same Time magazine. They had this photograph of a piece of art by Jasper Johns entitled Alphabet. And it was just the alphabet, and he used this color to bring every letter of the alphabet into a whole different life form. It jumped out at me. And if you looked at it from a distance, you could almost not see that it was an alphabet. It was just like almost like human beings walking around. And I thought, wow, how interesting to take something so simple like the alphabet and make a work of art out of it. There's your imagination. You know, there's somebody looking at these letters and seeing colors, and these wonderful colors and these strokes all over, paint strokes, bringing all these letters to life in a different way than we could ever imagine. So imagine that.
Imagine that. If you mind if I just intercede here for just a moment. What struck me about what you're saying in this picture that I'm looking at is that imagination can just produce something, but it always requires the use of the will. It seems to me that will is such a central ingredient to the activity of and movement of life. Decision-making. I mean, think of the last decision, the decision you made out of choice. Yes, well, I will choose to have the chocolate goodie and not the salad with the green leafy something or other.
Right, and that choice may not even be a good choice.
That's right.
But the salad would have been much better for you than the chocolate gooey.
Exactly. This seems to be a constant challenge for most of us. As a matter of fact, I've noticed in this culture, actually, in the time I've spent here, and it's not just limited to the U.S. of A., is that there seems to be a constant war going on, especially amongst women, everyone, but I think more women, between vanity and sensuality. I notice that we just want to eat up and gobble up all these good-tasting things, gobble, 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 and then we are told that we have to be persons who are so skinny that they've not eaten in over 3 years. They add nutrients to air.
And fashion.
Fashion, that's right. It represents a level of insanity, I'd say, wouldn't you? This kind of contradiction between being sold all this delicious, greasy food. Errol, what happened today that we were talking about the lunch, the girl? Oh, yeah, we had this customer came in today. She wanted two grilled cheese sandwiches with extra butter and extra cheese.
Butter?
Yeah.
On the sandwich?
No, I put butter on it when I make it, on like a grilled cheese sandwich. You put butter on the skillet. That's what makes it so good,
right,
to get that butter part kind of nice and brown. She wanted two of those sandwiches and extra butter and cheese. And I thought, man, this gal's, she wants whatever that is that's in milk product.
Imagine that. But once again, we make a choice that is harmful to our system. From everything that you read and what all the medical profession tells you, to eat that much cholesterol is not the best thing in the world for you. At least have a salad on the side, maybe.
At least.
But, Imagine that you could kill yourself literally through eating, and you've made that choice. Now, that defies imagination sometimes.
Those are the old lifestyle choices that affect our health that are considerable. And part of our education, I believe, we need to take a closer look at that. The degree to which we are run by our compulsivities, I like to call them compulsivities because that's what they are, and it's that run our behind, so to speak, is running us. They don't call it anal for nothing. It's an anal compulsivity. It means your butt is driving the boat. It's, what do they call it in cars?
Rear-wheel drive.
But what are they finding is that front-wheel drive, by and large, is better. So that means you're forward-looking rather than being run by a part of you that you can't even see and you don't know what naughty business it's up to back there because you can't see it. And that's running the show, something that you can't see, your rear end.
Imagine that, my God. I want to put in my 5 cents. I was going to say two, but I realized it's
inflation. The 5 cent version. Okay.
Imagination is the forerunner of everything that happens, that comes to pass in our lives, so to speak. I don't want to be a dreamer, but that's the only way. And dreamer, I remember that it was not looked at kindly when I was growing up. Stop dreaming. I remember hearing that a lot because I would go off and dream about things. I don't even know what it was, but it was not what was in front of me.
I thought you dreamt of me most of those dreams, wasn't it?
It's 5 or 6. I don't know.
I'm thinking of another gal.
Later, I dreamt of you. But not at 5 or 6. At 5 or 6, I don't know what I was dreaming about. But there was this place that I went beyond what was happening in the now, beyond the tangible. It just seemed so much more wonderful in that space. And I would just go off just by the flash of anything, send me off. Something I couldn't comprehend, like somebody was talking, and it just wasn't engaging my imagination. So my imagination would go somewhere else. I wanted to be engaged, and a lot of people don't use their imaginations to engage you.
I can see this young couple coming up, and they're running up, and they tell their friends, "We just engaged our imagination. Oh, we're so excited."
Oh, God.
Was that like a D-?
No, but I could get a C maybe in the right circumstances.
Yeah, we've been rating my jokes. By the way, that's the highest mark I've had in a while. That's how bad they are. But I keep telling Rochelle that I try and do my worst jokes among us so then when we get on this program, but I fail, obviously.
She still does these terrible jokes.
Thanks for being patient with me and for having the imagination to actually think that maybe I could say something funny. Hold that thought. Errol actually saying something.
Anyway, I funny. Love my imagination. I love that it exists. I love that I'm capable as a human being to go to that place outside of seeming reality and create another reality that is much more fun at any given moment in time.
Well, on that note, let's have some fun, shall we?
I can imagine that being Abigail Washburn, because I saw her perform it, and she's the wife of Bella Fleck, the famed banjo player. Imagine that. What are your last remarks about imagination?
Imagine that there will come a day where we will evolve into union rather than separation.
Imagine that. I can imagine us taking those first new steps that we need to take towards a more expansive reality. How about you, Reginald? What can you imagine?
Well, I can imagine the human race stumbling along, but getting better at not stumbling so often and so heavily.
Or violently.
Yes, I can imagine that. And what about you, Father? Well, I can imagine the possibility of humanity taking the first step to actually have a conversation with each other. And that's happening all over the world right now. So it's easy to imagine. Imagine that.
Okay.
How about you, Barney? Any last thoughts on our show tonight?
Well, I can imagine that maybe somebody who's about to make a choice that's going to really screw up somebody else will go, I don't really need to do that. Then the very possibility of mercy might begin to invade their consciousness. Imagine that.
That would be fun.
This is Inside Out, the Naked Truth. We'd love to hear from you. Send something to my email address if you could. eastrider@gmail.com. eastrider@gmail.com. Rochelle's got a new phone where she can show the pictures of our new granddaughter, which we're so excited about. We got some smiles from her this weekend. And we want to thank our sponsor, Go Raw. We want to thank our extra special sponsor. What was the name of our second sponsor tonight?
Imagine that.
So having said that, what do you got to tell them?
Remember, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more. Imagine that.
Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on job one for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.